Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with Judy Noyes, our second installment of Judy Noyes. And it's wonderful. The first one was wonderful, and you need it just like the vaccine. You need more than one. You need one shot, and then you need another one. And she's the author of Judy's COVID Breakdown. And it's wonderful. It is a must get. And she has put a sense of humor into a very serious thing. And she made a very positive thing out of a pandemic. And not bad. If we could all do that, we'd be doing okay. Judy Noyes, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good here. Yeah.
I was talking to you off mic a little, and I was talking about the vaccine, and I'm glad to know that you're not an anti-vaxxer. I don't understand that, you know, not to get into that whole thing, but I'm glad you got your vaccine. I'm on the way to getting mine. And have you touched on any of that in the book?
Yeah, there's some. The book was complete at the end of the year before the election. But in the book, there's something clever about the vaccine and all the protests going on. And there's somebody in jail, and the other one is somebody poking out, looking out their window, and to inject. You're injecting for justice, or are you injecting for hope? It's just a spin on the vaccine and also the politics of it, who should get injected.
Yeah. Does it amaze you that a pandemic, I guess everything gets politicized, but it amazed me that it became a political statement, like the mask or no mask or whatever. Like, I'm big on wearing the mask. I don't know, you know, I don't know about you, but I wear a mask everywhere. I mean, I feel like I'm going to wear a mask after the pandemic is done. I'm so used to wearing the mask. But, I mean, people just refuse to do this. And I don't know. I don't get that. I don't get that it became political. I understand why it did, you know, and why it became so divisive. But, I mean, people were doing it like thumbing their nose at the pandemic. And I just never understood that.
And they still are. They still are. And also the calling it the China virus, just yeah. Every time I hear somebody call it the China virus, I cringe.
Yeah.
I just cringe. And one of my cartoons is a Corona Extra bottle of beer that says Mexican lager. And it says, "Will the real Corona please come forward?" And then it says, "Hey, that's not Chinese." So a lot of my cartoons have touched on the political culture as well as the emotional culture and what's in people's hearts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was just breezing through and peeking through. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, and it's clever. It's funny. It's witty. It's all of these things. But without this divisiveness, it wouldn't be so funny. You know, your book wouldn't be if it didn't. Again, not that you hope for division, but you poked fun at it. You poked fun at that aspect of it. And, you know, quite frankly, it's a when somebody takes such a strong stand on something and they politicize something, it opens it up for you know, the comedians. And I'm not calling you a comedian, but you're a comedic writer, obviously, right? And it opens it up for the comedians and the late night folks. And in some ways, when we have things that are, you know, I'm going to say it, you know, ridiculous, you know, ridiculous arguments, it gives clever people like yourself an opportunity to take aim.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it's also just the emotion of it and the sadness of it and the hope of it, just all mixed in. That's what's good about this book, is it just gives a lot of hope. It's just got a lot in it. And another thing is every single drawing, it's like when you come back and look at it, you'll see something else in there that you didn't see before. And I really like that aspect. Each cartoon elicits people to think.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm in agreement with you there. And let me remind folks, if you're just tuning in a little late or turning on your radios a little late or clicking in the middle of on your computer, Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, Judy Noyes is our very special guest. Noyes is spelled N-O-Y-E-S, right? We got it right? And I'm sure people have mispronounced that. Judy's COVID Breakdown is the name of the book. Have you heard mispronunciations on your name?
Noyes, occasionally. Noyes, yeah. No, but it's no yes.
No yes.
And it's N-O-Y-E-S is no yes, or my husband's nickname is Mr. Maybe.
I looked at it a million times. I've never noticed that. It is no yes. How was that? Wow. I mean, you'd have to pay for that. You know, no yes. I mean, that's, that's very, very good. Let me ask you what you've been doing since the last time we spoke. Have you done a lot of cartooning? Have you done a lot of jotting down? Has it become a habit at this point?
Each drawing, I'll have the idea, and I might have the idea for a couple weeks or longer. And frankly, I've been, like everyone, there's a lot of depression, and I work full time, so I have to overcome my depression to go and do the drawings, but then when I do the drawings, it cheers me up. But motivation, a lot of times, because depression can cause you to sit and do nothing. You just can't move. Just go to work and you function at work, and then you're depleted. You don't have anything left. But I get the ideas, and I have an idea right now, and I've done a couple cartoons, but I don't know exactly where it's going to go yet. Because I also do photography and writing, so I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'll just keep stabbing at it. I think I did a cartoon of a crow after Trump he couldn't tweet anymore. So the cartoon that's not in the book, it would be after the book for new cartoons, but there's a crow sitting in front of the White House, and his beak is tied, and it says, "I can't tweet." So I've done it.
I guarantee you, people are going to be mad at that. They're going to be like, but that's great. See, that's clever.
I get fascinated by the divisiveness and the terms that come up. There's a term now that people are using, whataboutism.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
No, I haven't. Tell me about
that. Whataboutism is like if you believe the protests in Portland, and then the big protest that happened in the White House, and then there's people that think, well, why is there so raged about what happened in the White House, and it's on the news, and all this attention, but for months and months and months, damage was happening every night in Portland. But then somebody will say, well, that's different, and that's just a whataboutism.
Wow.
It's like, so I've...
That's
just that's so clear about the divisiveness. It's so clear to me.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm focusing in on that you said about the depression. Do you want to know something? I haven't been depressed in years. I mean, like 30 years. And then all of a sudden, like I've dealt with it. I did this with my wife. We said, let's name everybody we know. And let's try to name someone who is not either suffering from anxiety or suffering from some type of depression. And we couldn't, we couldn't come up with too many people. It was a handful of people that we said, I think this person or he or she is. But my wife said something interesting. She said, well, before or after the pandemic on the depression. And I thought that was a good point because I'm telling you, I've felt it, and it's a serious thing. I mean, it's I don't want to minimize it, I mean, because I'm not that depressed or whatever, but I've felt depression for the first time And it's this, you know, it's being isolated. It's being forced not to interact with people, I think. And to, you know, I mean, well, you tell me, what is it? What is it that is causing this?
There's loss, and some loss is worse than other loss. And so then you feel guilty that you feel depressed about your stuff because somebody else has it so much worse.
Right.
But yeah, it's the isolation and a lot of disappointments, you know. My husband and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
We celebrated his retirement. I turned 60, but all of these hopes and dreams of celebrating those things in life, all three of them in 2020. Like I have one of my cartoons is a birthday cake with a child crying because his grandmother can't give him a hug.
Wow.
You know, so there's just disappointments. And, but I always find a hope. That's just me. Like for the 25th wedding anniversary and for turning 60 and for somebody retiring. So when this is all over, we're going to have a party and call it a triple crown party. Because I was really looking forward to my 60th birthday and having a party.
A shindig.
And to not have that, you know, you do, you know, it seems trite, but it's not. It's your hopes and dreams and celebrating and your rites of passage. And those things are, and then there's a lot of people that are alone. They're living alone. But if you happen to see them on Zoom or you happen to see them one-on-one, they might project that they're fine and happy, but way deep down, you think maybe they're not.
No doubt about that one. That's a whole other issue. But Judy's COVID Breakdown is the name of the book. It's a must get, everyone. Just wonderful. By a wonderful author and cartoonist and photographer. A very creative lady and very witty lady, as you can hear. She's wonderful. Frank McKay with Judy Noyes. It's interesting. And you mentioned social media. Keep in mind, when I post social media, I'm not posting when my daughter's mad at my son and she's yelling at him for taking the car, or you know, doing this and that, or that the dogs are barking, or they jumped up on the table and they, you know, they messed up dinner. You know, we're not posting that necessarily. We're posting smiling, happy pictures and whatever.
Right.
And I'm almost a little guilty thinking, are we making other people think that this is our reality, that everything is hunky-dory all the time and everything is like we're the Bradys, you know? It's like, yeah, you know, we're these happy-go-lucky people. I don't know that social media is not adding to some people's depression.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing is I did get vaccinated and my husband did too, and he posted it before I had a chance to talk to him about it. But we were happy and excited to get the vaccine, but then you get the reaction and the feeling kind of guilty because we're not over 65. It was just that I have a job where I have to enter care facilities.
Yeah.
And so I was just fortunate to get put on a list because of that. But then people see, there's some people that are really fearful of COVID. And some people are so fearful of it that they're taking it serious not to just wear masks, but they're fearful to go out. And so they're not going out.
Yeah.
You know, they might not even go to the store. They do everything by delivery and Grubhub. So then when they see all these happy people posting the excitement of getting a vaccine, you know, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So I was just... I want to be really sensitive about that.
Yeah, it's you're making a very good point. And, you know, trust me, I have the same, you know, I have these same emotions that go out there. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I have underlying issues. That's why I'm lined up to get it. I'm getting it 2 days from now. And for people listening to us sometime in the future, this is a Monday, and I believe, Wednesday, I'll be getting the shot unless something dramatic happens and they say I can't get the shot. And I have five heart stents, you know, I got stents when mm-hmm. I had a heart issue. So the doctors said, oh, by all means, you should have it. My wife got it because she works in the sheriff's office. She's a civil servant, but she works as the head of public relations, and she's around mm-hmm. Offices all the time, and they wanted everybody to get it. So, you know, am I guilty that we have it before 85-year-olds and 87-year-olds? I guess so. But, in my thing, just get it. If you got an opportunity to get it, get it. Obviously, don't mm-hmm. do anything illegal, but get it. It's just one less person that we have to worry about spreading it. And,
people will get access to it. It's taking a while, but also I don't criticize that because it's a global issue with billions and billions of people that need to be vaccinated. So that's another example of the divisiveness and the making it political. And when people post things on Facebook, then the people that see that may believe it, and it's not true, and that frustrates me.
Yeah.
The nursing homes and the staff, they're all getting vaccinated, but there may have been a perception that the nursing homes that are really the real wealthy people that pay privately to live in fancy nursing homes were getting it before the other nursing homes, which in Oregon, that's not true. I know firsthand that all of the facilities, it was happening pretty quickly and efficiently. They're getting the staff and the residents vaccinated.
You know, I should say here in New York, my uncle and his 90-year-old girlfriend, that's funny, he's 83, and then he had a girlfriend, she's 90, they're wonderful, they're very cute together, but they live in a high-end assisted living, and they were very late in getting their vaccines. The whole, I thought it was good, because they're living in a high-end one, and people that I know around here that are living in, and even listeners to the show. And again, I want to be careful how I put this, but the least expensive ones seem to get it first. And I don't think it was by design, but I thought that was great, because I would have been disturbed if it looked like the wealthy was getting, were getting their shots before the folks that are, that don't have as much bucks.
Right.
So I'm glad.
Well, part of the humor and part of my me that makes up this book is I do tend to be kind of naive and gullible and have hope that I'll be unassuming and assume the best in people. And so I really don't believe that the vaccines were being distributed to the care facilities based on economics.
No.
I don't believe that, because I saw all of the facilities, and when I entered them, I saw signs posted. And I know firsthand, at least in my county, here in Oregon, of the facilities, staff and residents all, but there was a handful of staff members that didn't want to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
And they weren't forced to.
That to me is crazy. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
If you're going to be working with that kind of people, then you should take time off. I'm sorry. If you're going to be working with, especially the elderly.
Yeah.
Why would you have a choice on that? And I know it's America and everything else. Judy Noyes, everyone, is a wonderful author, very witty author, and her book is Judy's COVID Breakdown. Frank McKay here with Judy Noyes. One interesting thing, and again, changing subjects here, and one of the most polarizing people that I've ever met, and I know him personally, was the former president. And boy, was he, he was the most polarizing. That's the reason that this became so polarized, is because he made it polarized. He wouldn't wear the mask. He put it down. He's the one who coined the phrase the Chinese virus, right? He was the one who did it. And then people just followed his lead, and it sounded mean, and it sounds ignorant and all that. But one of the things, he kept saying Sleepy Joe. In other words, that Biden, now President Biden, is like Sleepy Joe. And I thought to myself, I don't mind Sleepy Joe. I don't mind that. I don't mind us taking a break from this constant chaos and this. And again, I don't want to get too political, but it's this every day. He's insulting somebody. The president, he's the former president, is doing this and that. And it's like, oh, my God, just stop already. How about you as a cartoonist, as a an author? And this is a sick question, but do you miss him a little for the material that he gives?
No. I don't miss him for the material. I can get material anyway, but yeah.
I mean, my God.
Sleepy Joe is almost a compliment. It's almost like after all the chaos, you're supposed to take a break and you're supposed to rest, right? Rest on the seventh day of Sabbath.
Yes.
I find that it's more peaceful, a culture that's moving, like all that chaos every day. Like, yeah, he's Sleepy Joe. I'm glad he's off doing his job, and right. He doesn't have to be in my face every day about it.
I don't want to hear about the president.
Sleepy Joe all you want.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about the president. I don't think the president should be the focus of our lives. You know,
no.
He's doing, it's like an umpire in baseball. If you hear a lot about the umpire, he's blowing calls. He's screwing up. He's doing whatever. If you constantly hear about the president, it's because he's offending people. I mean, we saw the last 4 years of what happened.
Some of my cartoons are about that, and so if you look at it, it's not about the current. It's moving in another direction. But again, the thing that I mentioned before about my book that I've had feedback, but for me personally, because I look at these cartoons and I entered into them, and because I might be seeing something I didn't see before, and I'll enter in there and it'll be meditative for me too. But one of the cartoons, and I don't know if people get it, the caption is "The Room Where It Happened," because I was really pissed off that author wrote a book and called it "The Room Where It Happened." I feel like he plagiarized the title of a song in a epic, important musical, Hamilton. So I was really pissed off about the title of that book. I just thought it was just so
blatant.
And it wasn't plagiarism, because in the music industry, apparently the title of a song, you know, it's not considered plagiarism in the music industry because it was the title of a song. But one of my cartoons had, you're entering into the room, and as you enter, there's coronaviruses and a Trump hat. So you're entering into the room where it happened. But then when you come out of the room, you're entering all the protests and the chaos. And so it says, caution, do not exit. And it says, caution, do not enter. Oh. It's like, you can't go in or you can't go out.
There's a guy
holding a baseball bat and a Black Lives Matter tattoo kind of thing. But I hope that when people see that cartoon, they'll understand or look at it a little deeper to see what I'm saying.
No one is going to look at you and think that there's mean-spiritedness or certainly bias. You know, you've been great with this. And anybody, you know, if somebody's going to get mad, it's a Kool-Aid drinking Trump supporter. They might get mad, but they shouldn't get mad either. I mean, come on.
I don't think people will get mad. There's a handful of people that don't like, that may not appreciate the book because of their political views, but the majority of people, when they see the book, it's funny, that's what I like about it too, is, you know, you're taking something that's such a dark year, and people are just laughing hysterically, like, and I love that. I like to see people's react. I want to share that, you know.
It's great. That's, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, I just heard it go. Jacques Cousteau, right? Jacques Cousteau had a great line. Of course, when he was alive, he's been dead for a while. But Jacques Cousteau, you remember who he is, right? Underwater
absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he was he had a great line. He said, "If you have an interesting story to tell, it would almost be selfish not to tell it." And that's how I feel about your book.
Sure.
These are interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting tidbits, interesting takes on what's going on out there. And you did such a wonderful job with it.
I haven't drawn the cartoon about this term, what about isms?
Yeah, you got to do that one.
If people haven't heard the term, because there's another term, have you heard this movement that say, okay, boomer? Have you heard that one?
No, but boomer is a baby boomer?
Yeah, there's a, it's political. There's some generations of people younger than the boomers, like, they'll say, okay, boomer, and it's kind of the boomers feel like it's a disrespectful thing, like, we're not relevant because I'm a boomer. Hmm. Okay, boomer, whatever. Or, like, we're not relevant because, you know, we're... And so I find that you'll hear it. I mean, it's definitely a term. Okay, boomer, like, whatever. So one of my cartoons is pretty explicit. You know. Because there's a lady at the beach in the middle of the COVID, you know, not wearing a mask, playing at the beach. Then there's a boomer person looking out the window, isolating in the house, and it says, okay, boomer, and then it says, F you, boomer, lives matter.
Oh, does it say F you?
It says F. It says F you, boomer, lives matter.
Wow.
But,
that is,
you know,
great.
People that haven't heard that, but it's there. You'll hear about it. Like, this term, like, okay, boomer,
yeah,
is really, to me, kind of like people that are making the boomers feel as though they're not relevant.
That we
have a whole lot of money, and we should feel guilty about that because other people, because, you know, that we're not, that we're selfish, or.
Look, you know who boomers are? The Beatles were boomers, right? They were, the Clintons were boomers. Bill Gates is a boomer, right? I mean, a lot of good things just, and what I mentioned there, a lot of good things happened in just those few. Boomers, forget it. Boomers are a great generation. What are we talking about? How am I not a boomer if you're a boomer? I'm 54. I'm just a little behind you. You said you're 60. What am I? I'm Gen X. Is that what it is? I'm right behind you. 6 years puts me behind you. What the heck?
Yeah.
I don't know that. You're a boomer? At 60, you're a boomer?
Yeah, the 60s was the tail end of the boomer dates.
Yeah.
1960 is still considered that within the time frame of the dates.
Oh.
But it's one of the last.
Oh, people that were born in 1960 are now 60 years old. How about that?
I know.
That's interesting.
I know. It's too crazy.
Oh. But listen, people are living well past 100. So 60 is the new, whatever, 48 or something, you know, new 45.
Yeah.
60's not old. Come on. And listen, your cartoons are refreshing. They're great. You're terrific. Congratulations once again. I can't wait to talk to you again. Judy Noyes, thank you very much. Give us your website. Give us a social media site for people to follow on.
Yeah, you can order the book. The publisher is Exlibris. But
Ex Libris, right? Ex Libris is
correct? Yeah, it's Xlibris. Exlibris, but the website is judyscovidbreakdown.com.
Wonderful. Judy Noyes is the Judy in Judy's COVID Breakdown. And it's just wonderful. And judyscovidbreakdown.com, you said, right?
Yes.
Is that right? All right. Well, listen, congratulations again. Can't wait to talk to you. And to you and your husband, congratulations for getting the vaccination. That's a great thing. And it's just, you know, hopefully little by little, we'll be able to say that to every person in the country who's sensible enough to get the vaccine. And everybody listening, get the vaccine. Don't be silly. Just get the vaccine.
Okay. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Bye.
Judy Noyes, everyone. Judy's COVID Breakdown. It's a must get. And just get the book. It's wonderful. You heard some tidbits here. You got to get the whole thing. Read it from start to finish. Frank McKay signing off. Judy Noyes has been our very special guest. No Yes. Think No Yes. And that's how you spell it. Judy No Yes. Judy Noyes has been our very special guest. And we'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.